Hey, Big Love fam, welcome to Super Freak. This is a high vibe podcast, y'all, exploring all things frequencies, how they govern form, shape our realities, and are the key to living from your full potential. It's non-woo convos about super woo shit, unpacking what I call the science of self, from body and soul literacy to the power of understanding vibration, higher consciousness, quantum physics, and spiritual psych. Let this podcast become a resource for you on your journey to self-mastery. If you're curious and ready to free your mind, unlock the body, and truly become limitless, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Tally. This is Super Freak, awakening for the next gen. Let's go. All right, everybody. So today's mini cast, I'm going to talk about walk-in souls. This is coming off of a video I made off TikTok, or from TikTok, I should say, about Kate. And I kind of get reluctant to make videos like that because they just call in a wild bunch of folks with opinions, specifically from other quote-unquote healers. This is why I don't claim to heal anybody, because it just becomes like a healer war, which I'll make another podcast on. But I want to clarify something about walk-in souls. So what is a walk-in soul, and are they real? And what is the standing, let's say, rule for it? So here's how I see it from the level of consciousness that I'm resonating at now, that I'm stationed at now. Essentially, walk-in souls are real. I have worked with them. I have seen them. And it is an agreement at soul level that the incoming soul may use the vessel of the outgoing soul that is already incarnated. Meaning, someone has a body here, someone has an avatar, okay? And they're at a very specific age. Typically, it's post-utero. And I'll talk about the difference between a in-utero kind of walk-in versus a post-utero walk-in. An in-utero walk-in is usually just a soul that decides to enter the body a little bit later. They've got up until like a certain amount of time to kind of enter a body. So you can actually be growing a baby and not actually have a spark of life in it until a little bit later on, depending on what the soul decides to do. Sometimes there's negotiations. If there's like two souls that are trying to come in, there might be like a negotiation and one decides to come in sooner, et cetera, this kind of thing. So a walk-in soul agrees to use a vessel of a soul that is already incarnated in the third dimension. In this particular time frame, it agrees to come into this particular location. Like, it's very location specific. It is body resonance specific. It is agreement specific. It's pattern specific. It's extremely destined. Like, someone I worked on used a body that was extremely sick, like very, very, very dense. And they had to lower her resonating consciousness down to like a seventh dimensional frequency from a 12th dimensional frequency because the body literally couldn't hold it. It was so sick. And the reason why she agreed to do that is because she wanted to see and understand the codes, okay? The inversion codes of how we got to where we are. How did we get so dense? And then override the vessel and then share a very specific set of information and keys and codes with the living, with specifically correcting star seeds and healers that are off path, things like that. So she's a very specific contract, and she emanates from the initial consciousness of light, like very familiar with the frequency of who this woman is, or this consciousness is, that has decided to incarnate into a female body within a very specific period of time, within a very specific resonance. She also knew the walkout period, like I'm coming in for this amount of time and then I'm leaving. And this is very common. Souls that are advanced souls that have permission will make an agreement within a living soul that is already on its way out. They're not going to take advantage per se of a soul that's living, although there are beings that do that, there is a possession consciousness or a possession frequency that will come in and just take over bodies. It's not good. We see that a lot now. You see people who are literally possessed. It's because they have taken over the soul. That's not what a walk-in is. Okay. They're not demonic in nature, although they can be. A walk-in is a very specific agreement where, like I said, a soul will come in. There's an agreement between souls. You use my body. I have come here to learn what I've come here to learn. That vessel, that soul will come into that vessel. And then there's an integration period. And then essentially picking up right where they left off. We've seen this in movies for years and years and years. And as we know, programming is prescriptive and predictive as much as it is entertainment. So I say all of that because they are absolutely very real, and they will choose to do that based on their mission, based on what's going on with the planet, based on the agreements and the matching patterns of the person that they are incarnating with, or the exchanging, let's say they're making an exchange pattern with. Now, it's not necessarily advised, okay? It's not looked upon as something negative, because God is not emotional in that way. God doesn't care. It's constantly trying to produce different learnings, okay? It's constantly just aggregating data. It's one big data information system that's incredibly complex. They can make and create life in various forms of complexity that's constantly cycling and learning on itself. That's literally how I see God. It's like one big network of everything that ever can happen will happen. Everything that is possible can be possible and is possible. And it's all just algorithms that are aggregating like a quantum computer and learning on itself. So I say all of that because what I saw going on with the royal family is anyone who agrees to be in that circle, okay, just imagine you have a room, okay, and a bunch of people are coming in, everyone that you've been married to, everyone that you've had soul agreements with, like your soul family, okay, is all there. And then their agreements are there, and then their agreements are there, and their agreements in there are there. So if you think about the royal family, it wasn't uncommon, okay, as of like 50 years ago for incest to happen. Okay, so the royal family bloodline is incredibly inbred. And so there's agreements upon agreements upon agreements upon agreements. And then they're constantly partnering with people for very specific reasons to either maintain heritage, lineage, or with agreements that are made at soul level. Okay, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, take for example, Diana. Diana, she crossed over with a nefarious type of activity, let's say. At soul level, she knew, okay, she saw what was happening from a very specific perspective. From a very different perspective, she saw what's going on. Every soul that dies awakens, for the most part, to some degree when they lose the body because they don't have the density. So they see things at a very different level. And then you work with somebody like myself or somebody else who can awaken them even more. And then they can cross over into different levels of consciousness because they couldn't access that here. Every soul agrees to come here. Every soul agrees and knows when they're leaving. And there's an agreement within that. So the reason why I'm saying, for example, Diana, it wouldn't be uncommon for her to actually reincarnate quickly into a matching frequency, right? A matching alignment, or the queen or whatever, because the souls within the family system are going to be recycling, kind of. They're just kind of recycling through bodies, through various different roles within the family system, like we all have. Some of us have a sister who was a mother in our former life, who, let's say, our partner was maybe a partner we had in another life. Like, really, when you get down to brass tacks, we recycle the same people over and over again, and then we get ourselves reflected back into every single person we meet over and over and over again. You're literally the only character in the movie. Everything else is just an AI projection for you to interface with and experience life with and grow from. So it's all about evolution. So what would Diana have to learn if she came back in, let's say, as a walk-in soul or reincarnated into a daughter of or granddaughter of her son or something like that, right? What would be the advantage for her? Let's say she would want to learn how to override and actually transcend sacrifice patterns, victiming program, and martyr frequencies. Let's say she wanted to really, really do that and transcend distorted service. So she was incredibly burdened by having to be a person who was incredibly insecure and having all the duties. She was deeply, deeply loved because people saw themselves in her. So she had this incredibly powerful magnetism about her and this empathy. She had incredible levels of empathy. But if you look at people who have very distorted service contracts, like Mother Teresa, for example, which I'll make a whole other cast on, Diana was another one, it becomes very burdened, okay? Gandhi was another one. They become almost burdened by the contract to serve. So part of our agreements here that we make is just to evolve, learn, be, exist, okay? Awaken. And then it matters. It matters kind of, or let's say it is evaluated to some degree. It's a contributor to your life after you exit the dream world, which is what the earth is. This is all school. Okay. It's all learning. What you do with the information that you have, what did you learn and how did you serve? Those things are evaluated to some degree. They're kind of against, okay, your prior lessons and your prior existences and learnings and bodies and lifetimes. Those are measured against those things. Did you learn? Did you evolve out of those patterns or did you repeat the same thing? And the soul will be like, damn it. I know I want to go back and do it again because I want to override this, 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 and this. Okay, great. Your pool to be able to do that, your availability based on the level of resonance that you're at. It's not emotion. It's not judgment. It's not shame. It's not guilt. It has everything to do with the level of awareness that you're at. You cannot fly an F-150 plane if you do not know how to fly that plane. Okay. It's very simple. It literally has to do about awareness, your level of consciousness that you're stationed at when you depart the body, when you exit the body, and then you move to the other side. And then based on like as above, so below, okay, based on your level of resonance here determines the level of awareness that you go beyond the veil. That being said, let's say you're resonating at a 6 here when you leave. This is just hypothetical, okay? It's not like you're getting shamed or guilted for not being awake and you're going to be measured and there's a measuring stick and there's someone who's going to put you in a hell space. That's not how it works. I'm just saying if you get bullied here, you would get kind of pushed around on the other side as well. So as above, so below. It's literally, there's a reflection. Everything is a mirror. So let's say you're resonating at a 6 here and your level of awareness is at a certain place. To some degree, a lot of the royal families, they have all agreed to be in this arrangement, okay? The royal bloodlines are kind of like a chronic slave pattern. It's a bit of an enslavement. They deeply love being in service to their country. They deeply love it. They have reverence for it and they're all about it and they keep it going, right? They're not willing to kind of get outside of their contract. They don't know how to. They're too fearful. So they want to keep the status quo. There are souls that are like that. Other souls are desperately trying to get out of these agreements. Diana was one of them, for example. The queen ran very large martyr patterns, but I don't really see, people have said, oh, she's going to incarnate. I don't really see that. She's kind of like paid her dues, if that makes sense. So anyway, in this video, I said that I could see Diana coming into the children of William because there's already kind of a very similar patterning in terms of how they look, in terms of energy. They have very similar frequency and patterns already. So she could come back in, let's say, without having to go through the birth process again and just walk into a soul, let's say 5 years from now, a little bit closer to a teenager, like after the patterns have already, or before the patterns have already been kind of really solidified before 8 years old. So anywhere from like 8 to 13, that would be this window that I could see a possible walk in, just as a theory for fun, just throwing out that theory. And then she would have an opportunity to start overriding these patterns and do the duty from a different perspective, and then choose differently in terms of where she would partner, if she would partner at all, provided that William or Prince William at that point would be the king, which I see happening very soon, actually. So anyway, walk-in souls are really fascinating. I want to talk about why it's a possession frequency and the differences. So someone who would run a possession, deep religious patterning, martyr frequency, self-sacrifice, fear programming, like so much to the point where they typically have a fawn response. It's just easier to lay down. It's easier to submit. Again, a lot of it induced from trauma. Potentially could be running a go ahead and take advantage of my vessel frequency. If there is an opportunity for a soul to match that frequency and take advantage of a body here, because they do not care, spirit does not have manners, they don't know how to die. I'll talk about that in a second. Then they will take advantage of that. They will come into a soul, possess them, if you will, take over their vessel without their permission. And that is absolutely against law. Cannot do that. Cannot take a soul, cannot take a body without their permission. Cannot do it. It's extremely detrimental for the soul that takes advantage of that and does that. It is not good on the other side. It kind of perpetuates a hell state. You're kind of disembodied and you hear nothing but kind of screams all the time. From what I've experienced myself, you just enter into a realm of pure suffering and you can't kind of get out of it unless someone breaks the loop. And then that let's say soul or consciousness would go like on a spiritual probation period from what I've seen. So you have the soul that would run some type of sacrifice patterns. It could also be like a mental health pattern where there's deep levels of psychopathy or deep levels of narcissism, or let's say a soul has really, really taken advantage of the weak and the vulnerable in a past life. And then let's say they would have to experience in this life what it would be like to have their body and their vessel taken over. Everyone is going to experience everything else eventually. We're all going to experience everything in order to have the experience, because that's what consciousness is. That's what we're trying to learn here. So this is a constantly evolving idea. Nothing is ever fixed. There is no one way, even with the information I'm giving. I'm constantly just sharing what I know in the moment and then moving on and then evolving that information and learning from it and evolving from it and whatever, right? It's just constantly learning, because consciousness is constantly learning. If someone is telling you kind of absolutely no or absolutely yes, it's just based on the level of awareness that they are at in this moment. And like, nothing is off limits for how wild shit can get out there, because it is insane. It's totally, totally insane. So here's another example. So a soul decides to come in, or an energy or an entity decides to kick a spirit out of the body and use that vessel without the agreement. Very not okay. That is not allowed in just specific law of spirit, of light and dark consciousness. Like, the darkness knows that it can't do that. The light knows that it can't do that in terms of just rules, law, general, like spirit law. But there are entities outside of that that don't care. There's just beings and species out there that are well beyond this 12D grid that do not care, that don't have emotions, that will just come in and take advantage. And that's been part of Earth's evolution and the evolution of species. Ideally, that's why you want to be in your body and you want to claim your space and who you are and really start to understand what it feels like to be in your body. And if you're not in your body, then who is? Okay. You leave yourself kind of open for that. So this is, again, while I don't mean to harp on it, with any type of plant medicines, if you're going to be shot out of your body like that, you really have to be held in a very safe place in a beautiful container. So you are led back to yourself in that way. And you are done so in a safe place, emotionally, physically, et cetera, because it can get really, really dicey. It gets very hard to start to discern the faster that you oscillate and the more that you start to expand into other areas of consciousness and other blockchains and stations of consciousness, because there's a lot of other things going on. It's kind of like going to foreign countries and there's different cultures and different languages and different rule sets and different ways things are done. And you kind of just have to observe and be an observer and be very gracious. And just like here, right? Just be humble with the information, be available and present to it. And things just operate very, very differently kind of everywhere. There's so much more out there than what we perceive. It's just like, we're literally so small and we're so off base. Like, nothing is off limits. So anything that you can think could happen is basically what's happening. So if you perceive walking souls to be bullshit and demonic, then they will be that for you based on the level of awareness that you're at. If you believe that Jesus is going to come back and Jesus is the savior for us all, and he's going to walk amongst men and heal us instantly and all of that stuff, and that's what you believe based on the level of awareness that you're at, whatever you believe to be true will be projected and reflected back to you. That's why the more open-minded we can be, the more protective of our own sovereignty and our bodies and our space that we can be, the more that we connect to our own innate and active perpetual intelligence, which is always expanding, always knowing, and knows all, is connected to all. So the information that I tap into is me at a very different level of consciousness, and I can go infinitely into myself. So the practice isn't for me to study other traditions. I'm not interested in that. I want present moment and access deeper into myself and my own levels of knowledge. Like, imagine tapping into yourself that's a version of you 2,000 years in the future. I want to know what she's thinking. Shit, I don't care about 200,000 years ago per se, because it's all going to be the same in a non-linear experience. So if information is just cycling on itself and I'm tapping into myself in a version of me that's 2,000 years, let's say, in the future of linear time, that information is already going to have the availability of what has happened for the last 2,000 years. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? So it literally is like reading a book from the future or having access from the future. And that future is already informed by what has already happened. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? So we'll see what happens with all this stuff. We'll see what happens with Seoul. We'll see what happens with the royals. We'll see what happens as these systems continue to break down and fall apart amongst us, because anything that isn't for us is not going to continue in this evolutionary period that we're in, which is about coming back to ourselves and being a reflection of light. So in this next podcast, in the next couple of podcasts, I'll talk a little bit more about DNA, and I'll talk about consciousness transfers and how those things happen, because that's super wild and I've seen this happen already. And I will actually make another podcast on spiritual psychosis. So look out for that in the next 3 weeks. That's my promise to you. All right, y'all, question everything, be kind to yourself and others, and I'll see you guys in the next cast. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. Please make sure to leave a review and follow the fun on social media, because that's how it works in this world. And in the meantime, get your freak on. I'll see you in the next session.